Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. Some years back, passing a train with 58 folks on board, was rushing into the New York train station. That morning was different from any other morning, as that train rushed into that station at a high rate of speed. There was another train on the same track going the opposite direction. And the two trains collided, and 53 folks lost their lives that day. And the engineer of the train that was on the wrong track was pinned under his engine, fighting for his life, gasping for breath, called one of the emergency medical persons over to the side, and clutching a yellow piece of paper, handed it to that medical technician, and said these words, "Take this paper. It will show that somebody gave me the wrong orders." Now let me remind you of something. Man may give us the wrong orders, but God never has given us the wrong orders. If God tells us to stay on the track, bless God, we better stay on the track. And we had better listen as a church today, and we'd better learn the secret of simply listening to the voice of God and obeying His voice.
Amen.
Can I remind you, it's not what you think, it's not what I think, it's not what Brother Tim thinks, it's not what the deacons of this church think. I will tell you what matters is what God thinks.
Amen.
That all about. And listen to me, Mary. If we're going to obey anybody, we ought to obey God. For I've got news for you. I've been around 52 years now, and I've got news for you. I have discovered that He's a whole lot smarter than any of us.
Amen.
We better learn what it is to listen to God. You know what we do? We come to Him and we say, "Lord, what you want me to do? How do you want me to do it?" And God says, "All right, here's what I want you to do it. Here's the way I want it done." You know what we do? We say, "God, I don't know about that. I don't think that'll work. That'll take too much of my time and energy and effort. So I want to do it my way." And guess what happens? Anytime you try to do it your way and not God's way, guess what happens? You fall on your face.
Amen.
Gotta obey God. If we would listen to the Lord first, we'd be a whole lot better off. The reason that our churches today are the way they are is because we base what we do on man and not the Master. Can I remind you, church, Cedar Grove Baptist Church does not belong to you and great-grandpa and great-grandma. Let me remind you, this church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God He laid down His life for it. And guess what? If He laid down His life for it, everybody, everywhere is welcome to come to His house.
Amen.
You can only, if I invite you over to my house, you can come. I don't want you to come in, kick the door down, and say, "I come here to make a visit." And I tell you, there's a lot of lost folks out there feel like they've got to kick the doors down to get on the inside. And that's wrong, church. Guess what? Every person matters, not who they are. All be welcome in God's hands. You're not listening to God if you're doing things your way and not His way. It's done got us in a mess. Everybody wants to do their, say their best and do their own opinion. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's high time in 2013 to quit worrying about our own opinions and worry about what God thinks.
Amen.
We've got to obey God. We've got to obey God. And listen, I probably ought not say this. I hope you're comfortable in here because I am about to burn slap absolutely. I know folks say it's too cold. Bless God, it's hot in here. God wants us to obey Him. Are you listening to God? The reason that Christians are not growing more spiritually
spiritually is because we just simply don't listen to God.
Amen.
And you know what's amazing is? Listen very carefully, and I know this is not going to be good. I know I'm going to be the topic of your lunch table, but I'm always am, so it ain't going to make no difference. And let me tell you this. God must say a whole lot on Sunday morning for a lot of folks that don't ever come back except the next Sunday morning.
Amen.
We need to listen to God. Can I tell you this? Obedience is not optional when it comes to God. Samaria was under the leadership of Ahab, and Jezebel had gotten into a bad condition. The people that day were bowing down their knees to Baal and worship. And the worship of Jehovah had seemingly lost its prestige and lost its power. And everything religiously seemed to be so dark and dismal during that day. It was a spiritual night for Samaria. All of a sudden, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah appears on the scene. And his coming was like a meteor in the sky, for it lit up things. Can I tell you this? Let me throw a little sentence out here. God always has an answer to those who worship Baal. You know something? You worship the things of this world if you want to, but I've got news to tell you. God always has an answer to the things you worship.
Amen.
Elijah. And God had sent him to predict what was going to happen. And when you get to 1 Kings chapter 17, the very first verse, it begins to tell us about what was going to happen. Let me tell you something before we read the scripture. After man has done their worst and finished their worst, then it's time for God to begin. And the land may be run over with sin, and the lamps of witnesses may be dim and seem extinguished, but I'm here to tell you I am so grateful today that God still has at least one somewhere who will grab back and stand up for him.
Amen.
They say what the physical cliff is upcoming. If things don't change, if our president and our politicians don't get some things together, that tax is going to immediately go up, and we're going to have this physical cliff. I'm glad to know that even though the president and the politicians are sitting up there discussing things while we sit in this sanctuary, can I let you know something? God has his crowd that's got things in order as well. And if you'll just open your ears, God always sends somebody by to tell you something that's worth listening to if you can shut up long enough to hear it.
Amen.
The problem is this. Most of the time God sends somebody by our way to tell us something that's profound, but we already think we know more than the person that's come by to tell us. Can I tell you this? God is still and awesome God, and God still has a word for his people right now.
Amen.
Now the Bible said this man was from Tishbe. He was a Tishbite. Elijah the Tishbite. Now that's a little unknown city east of the Jordan River. Now let's stop and understand something. It makes no difference where you are from. God knows where you are.
Amen.
And if God can take a little man from Tishbe, a little spot on the road, I can guarantee you that God can take somebody from Cheddar and turn this community upside down.
Amen.
Aren't you glad, church, that God knows where you are?
Amen.
Oh, everybody used to kid me about growing up in what we call Possum Kingdom. really define where it's at. The border lines keep moving. They used to kid me, well, which part of Possum Kingdom? I said, I have no idea. I'm just in Possum Kingdom. And I want to tell you something. I'm glad that one glorious day, the Savior of this universe passed by Possum Kingdom, and he called my name, and hallelujah, he came into my heart and saved my soul. Amen. Amen. If you're saved, you ought to shout amen. If you're not saved, you ought to run down here and beg God to forgive you for being so religious that you make him sick.
Amen.
You understand something? A man baptized. Now I discovered something in verse 1. We may never get out of verse 1. Let me show you something. I discovered that Elijah came with courage. He went right into the royal throne room of Ahab, who was the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now Ahab was in his royal palace. And now here he was going before the king of the nation. But he went with courage. Now let me remind you of something. He knew that God wanted him to go. And guess what? If God wants you to go, rev back and go like the roaring lion. For if you got God on your side, you can't be defeated.
Amen.
I'm glad that God has folks that will not let a handful of people dictate to him what God wants done.
Amen.
I'm glad that God still has some men with some backbones. I'm glad that God still has some men who don't wear pink panties and will stand up for what is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, guess what? We need folks with courage who will stand up and say, I don't care what you think, this is what God says. He strutted him little self from the Tishbite town and walked right into the royal palace and stood right before Ahab. And he stood there with confidence. And here's what he said. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He came with courage, but he came with confidence. He knew that his Lord was alive and well, and they had been worshiping Baal. Did you notice what he said? As the Lord God of Israel liveth. Can I tell you any other God, any other man will not do? Aren't you glad that our God is alive?
Amen.
Woo, he's alive. And he was representing the Lord. You sing in this choir, you're not representing anybody. You're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stand and teach that class, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you walk out here and you do a testimony, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. When you teach the youth, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you to stand up with courage and confidence and tell them what God has told you to tell them. Well, they might get mad and quit church. Well, if they get mad over the Word of God, then they had a problem to start with.
Amen.
He came with confidence. Whatever you do, you stand before the Lord for what you do. He might have been in the presence of Ahab, but he was under the power of the Almighty.
That's right.
And when we're under his power, guess what? We can do anything.
Amen.
Church, hear me? We can do anything.
Amen.
And he says to Ahab, guess what, boy? He said, there shall not be no dew. There not going to be any rain for these years, according to my word. Now think about something. That was the two main sources of moisture. Ha-ha, listen. Listen very carefully. To cut off both would mean an extreme drought. And that hit home to Ahab because they believed that the God of Baal was the God of rain. And probably it made Ahab mad because he was going against his God. Now, I'm going to make a statement. You can do with it whatever you want to. A lot of times, when you listen to God, you're going to make people mad. But let me tell you this. If you've listened to God, and God told you what you needed to do, and you were faithful doing it, guess what? God will take care of
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to take care of Elijah, then Elijah began to speak. And he gave some divine orders. Look at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, I want you to understand, when God begins to speak, it's time for us to be quiet. Now, nobody loves to talk any more than I do, and I talk and don't say a whole lot sometimes. But I'll tell you, when the awesome presence of God shows up and begins to talk, we need to be quiet.
Right.
And we don't need to give God our opinion about things. The last time I checked, God's doing a pretty good job by himself.
Amen.
People say, I don't know when God speaks to me. It's probably not that. It's probably that you're just not listening when he does.
That's right.
Our minds are so preoccupied. You're sitting here right now wondering what you're going to buy the pastor for lunch. X-ray vision. You're wondering what your day is like tomorrow. The kids were rowdy coming and you fought on the way to church. You don't realize it, but see, I ride in some of your cars. You're frustrated. And God can't speak unless he gets our undivided attention.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When he gives orders, they are always divine. You don't have to wonder if you've been led astray. If God tells you to do something, you better just listen, because I'll guarantee you one thing. God has something that he wants you to do, and it's divine. You don't have to debate with God.
Amen.
For when an order comes from God, it comes straight from heaven. And he spoke divinely, and I don't hurry, it won't ever get done. And he told him in verse 3. To go to a certain place of protection. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. He said, I want you to get up right now and I want you to move eastward. Down to the brook Cherith, which is before Jordan. It runs into Jordan. There I want you to hide yourself. Now here's what I think he was doing. He said, I want you to go down there by the brook, find you a cave, and find that among the rocks and just stay there a little while. For pretty soon King Ahab would be looking for him because he had defied the king of Baal. Now, I'll tell you one thing. He may have been, Elijah may have been tempted to shorten their days of calamity. But the Lord wanted to last 3.5 years. And he said, I want you to go down there and I will protect you. When the enemy's after you and you don't know what to do, why don't you just find a place and let God just protect you?
Amen.
Don't retaliate, Matt. You'll make a mess of things. Let God handle your enemies. Just find yourself in a cave down by the brook Cherith and wait on God. Go wherever God tells you to go. Your Cherith may be a closet in the back of your house. Your Cherith may be the front seat of your vehicle. The Cherith may be a tree out in the backwoods. Wherever the Cherith may be, on a fishing lake somewhere, sitting in a boat. But I'll tell you one thing. If God tells you to go, you ought to find where God wants you to be.
Right.
Go to a certain place of protection. Then he moved on to verse 4. And he said, once you get down there, and it shall be. that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Go to a certain place of protection, but Asaph, I'm going to send you to a certain place of provision. You see, pretty soon the drought will be taking place. There'd be no food in the land. God says, you just go where I tell you to go, big boy, and I'll make sure that you have water to drink and food to eat. You know something they would eat? It's amazing to me that God wants to provide for us. He said, I'll provide for you. I like one word, and you probably don't get hung up on words like I do. And I could just preach a whole sermon on this one word. And I want you to notice what he said. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee where thou. Elijah might have preferred going to many other places, but if it wasn't where the there was, God wasn't going to take care of him. You better find where the there is in your life and get where God wants you to be. If you move somewhere else before the Lord told him, the provisions would stop. If God tells us to go to certain places, and that place is not comfortable to us, go anyway, for God will take care of you when you get back. But if we don't go where God sends us to go, guess what? God may give us a few provisions along the way, but I'll tell you, you get where God wants to be, he'll dump his whole boatload of provisions on you.
Amen.
Better make sure that you are where God wants you to be, doing what God wants you to do. Divine orders. But then there was direct obedience. Elijah didn't hesitate to do what God told him to do. Look at verse 5. So he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord. You know what us Baptist folks would have done? We'd have spent months trying to figure out the best route how to get back. We'd have sat around and discussed, and then we'd have had to bring it to the church for a vote on which way we ought to go. I'll tell you one thing, if God tells us to go, we ought to just go.
Amen. Come on, brother.
And so he obeyed. I don't find a discourse. Did he say, God, do you think you've got the right person? Why don't you send somebody else? I'm tired, God. I'm tired. You know, I don't want to be away from home. I don't find all that. I just find that he listened to God and did what God told him to do. Now, God comes to us and tells us to do something. We sit back, think about the cause and consequences. We debate about this and we debate about that. Can I tell you something? Listen very clearly, and I am not a prophet. The day of prophecy is gone. I'll tell you one thing. All I'm doing is waiting for what's already been prophesied to be fulfilled.
Amen. Right.
But I will tell you, if we have any debates about what the church ought to be doing, we've got an issue.
That's right.
Let me tell you, the divine orders of God that require direct obedience is number one, we are to reach every person with the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I mean, we debate. Why debate? That's what God expects of us.
Right.
And then I will tell you, God expects us to love one another.
Amen.
You see where that lady pushed that man into that moving subway that cost him his life. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And they arrested her, and she said she did it because she hated certain kind of folks. Now listen to me very carefully. You know what? When you show malice and hatred in your heart, you're pushing folks in front of the train.
That's right. Amen.
God says it is time for us to put our knives back in the drawer where they belong and quit stabbing them in people's backs.
Amen.
Amen. We debate about what God wants for our church. I'll tell you what God wants for our church. He wants the church to grow.
Amen.
you didn't want the church to grow, then y'all messed up. Why in God's name you build a gigantic sanctuary if you don't want to fill it up?
That's right.
Why don't you build something small? God had a vision for you, and I'll tell you what he had. He had a vision that you better get a hold of and try to fulfill his vision.
Amen.
My opinion is this. You say it don't matter about your opinion, and I know that. My opinion is this. It doesn't matter how they dress, how they smell, how they look, they need Jesus.
Amen.
And if you get Jesus to them, he'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
I don't care how many times our youth's been in trouble. I've got news for you. Stay quiet. For in your closet is a lot of skeletons that may fall out if you point your finger at somebody else.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Everybody's so quick to say, well, you know, we've got this bad person. I'll tell you one thing. Our youth is not bad. We've got some good youth saved.
Amen.
They do stay awake for preaching anyway. That's a good sign. Realize something. When we think the church belongs to us, we start handpicking who comes to the church. We're out of the divine order of God. It is not our design to pick and choose who comes. Guess what? We open up the doors and we say what Jesus said. You know what Jesus said? Whosoever will may come.
Amen.
I know. I'm pastor here, but I know some of you wouldn't have welcomed me years ago when I had long hair. Believe it or not, I had long hair. You wouldn't have welcomed me when I came in smelling like alcohol. You wouldn't have welcomed me when I came in smelling like pot, where I just smoked a cigarette pot. You know what you'd have done? Why is he here? What's he want? Let him get his life straightened up, then he can join us. No, we got it backwards.
That's right.
Let them come the way they are. Jesus changes their life. We don't straighten them up. Jesus does.
Amen.
You better listen to God. It's not about me and my handful. It's not about me and my little clique. It's not about how I used to do things. And we'd always done it this way. I'm going to tell you, always doing it this way is not always God's way.
Amen.
You know what it was? Obedience was completed. Look at verse 6. Here's what he said. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and a drink of the brook. You know something? He fulfilled the orders completely in verse 5. And then it was compensated for completely filling the orders. Now, I don't have time, but let me hit something that's very, it just jumped off the page at me. Probably won't bother you, but it just fascinated me. Let me back up and make this statement. Don't you worry. Don't you fret. Don't you lay awake at night. For if God has told you to do something, he's going to compensate you for doing it. He's going to always reward you. Here's what happened. They were compensated by the ravens. Why did he go to the neighbors? They wouldn't know. He was in the wilderness, church. Why did he pick berries? They wouldn't know. The wilderness is dry and hot. Nothing was there. Drought had just set in. He had nothing else to eat. You got to get to your nothing before you realize how good God is.
Amen.
He looked, and it sounded like a bunch of crows coming, and he looked, and it was ravens. Now listen. You say, oh, the ravens just happened to be there that day. No. God set those ravens in action. And those ravens showed up because God wanted them to show up. And the same God who sent the ravens was going to take care of him.
Right.
Now, when they brought the food, they didn't allow them to hoard it up. You know what churches are mad about doing? Hoarding things up and not using them. We're using it for God.
Right.
And so he'd bring certain flesh in the morning and flesh at night. He'd come every day. The ravens would come, take care of him. Guess what? You don't mess with the plan of God. Just let God feed you the way he wants to feed you.
Amen.
Now listen. I think the big thing that matters is this. As long as you're being fed, who cares what the ravens bring when they bring it? As long as you're happily fed and your stomach is full, right?
Amen.
You know why he also got it that way?